Good morning, everyone. Today, you've seen the sermon title in the bulletin. And usually when you see it in a church bulletin, you think, oh, say your prayers. You're going to tell us to pray more. Well, maybe. But the thing that I am more focused on is that first word, say. Say your prayers. Most of us have heard that passage many times. You've heard it twice in the service, and we may not be done with it. But we know what Jesus says about prayer. But this week, I began wondering if there isn't something when I engage prayer where I gradually migrated away from a particular discipline that is an ancient discipline. But if you, like me, have migrated away from it, you may find that it's an ancient one that can be new. You know what I'm saying? Something that is refreshing. It's a new dimension of the prayer. And I don't think that we are ignorant of it. But I just had the feeling that maybe I'd started overlooking something, not because Scripture changed, but because the Father, my Heavenly Father, was pressing something into my heart that is not only for my benefit, but also for the rejuvenation of my prayers. I've been asking myself if in our desire to avoid empty repetition, like we are, you know, admonished to do in the Scripture that we had, if we haven't gone a little bit too far by making all of our prayers internal and making our prayers thoughts. Now, prayers that are spoken and prayers that are internal are valid prayers. We are told in the Scriptures that God knows the thoughts in our hearts. And so sometimes we can maybe go to the other end and say, well, then why do we even need to pray? You know, if He knows exactly what we need before we even ask for it. We'll deal with that a little bit in a little bit. I'm not making a case against silent prayer. That's what I want to make sure that you understand. And I'm not asking you to stop praying silently. But God knows the thoughts of our hearts. But I wonder if we've forgotten the gift of actually speaking with our Father. I want you to notice that Jesus never says our prayers should impress people. But at the same time, He doesn't say that they should be empty words. And He invites us, I think, into something that is altogether different. He's saying it can be different from the people who are standing on the street corners for an audience or the people who are in their secret place. I just want to note one thing before I launch into this even deeper. And that is, for both of them, when they pray, there is a reward. The person who stands in front of people and prays, which is a lot of times where, you know, Wayne just did. Did Wayne sin by preaching in front of people? No. He gets his reward. And the person in the closet also gets their reward. But the problem isn't public prayer or private prayer. I'm not even sure it's a problem. It's something that we can identify so that we progress and grow and understand our Heavenly Father better. But this is for sure. Giving in Scripture, prayer, and fasting all share the same warning. And the warning is this: do not let it be a performance. Let it be an action that comes out of a relationship. Not performance, but relationship. It's the difference between seeking to please an audience sometimes, or having the affirmation, wow, that was a great prayer. I've never heard something so eloquent. Well, my middle name is Alexander Scorby. Yeah. Some of you didn't get that. Maybe that's too old of a reference. Yeah. But sometimes we can practice prayer and we can get better and we seek to make ourselves known and to be clear in our expression. And within that, we learn how to, with rhythm, how we can just speak before our Lord, and that is not a bad thing. But the issue isn't public versus private. The issue is performance versus engaging in real relationship. I want to give you an example, maybe a picture where you can delineate between the two. Okay. There would often be times where I would communicate to my children and I would say, clean your room. Okay. And they would experience pleasure if they performed. Right. So there are times for performing and doing what the Heavenly Father has asked. But I think what Christ is leading us to in this relationship prayer is more like when a parent says, hey, let's go sit on the front porch swing together. Let's talk. Tell me what you're thinking. Give me your fears. Let me tell you that I love you. Let me tell you, as long as it belongs to me, I will always be with you. Let me guide you. Doesn't that sound like a better thing than just obedience? And mind you, it's better to pray in obedience than not to pray at all. But I think we miss it when we don't vocalize. Prayer begins with two of the most beautiful words in all of Scripture. Our Father. And not just any Father, but our Father who is in heaven. Everything else in that prayer flows from that relationship. Our Father. Now, notice Jesus does not merely give us a pattern of prayer. He gives us the actual words by which we enter into relationship with the Father. Jesus vocalized that prayer. And it's appropriate that we vocalize that prayer as well. I'm going to talk a little bit more about... No, I'm going to talk about it now. One of the things about internal prayers is that they tend to be more fleeting than something that has been spoken. Sometimes I can go to prayer, and if it's just thought prayer, it's easy to get on a rabbit trail, and all of a sudden you don't know when your prayer started, when it ended, or what it was that you set before your Father and what you didn't. Now, some people have a journal. Some people follow a list. You know, those are certainly appropriate to keep us on track. But when we actually speak our prayers, it makes us aware of what we are praying for. And what does that awareness lead us to? It leads us to knowing exactly what we have laid before the Father. It opens our eyes to watch for the answer. And when we recognize the answer, then we can step into joy and thanksgiving. There's nothing like a vocalized prayer that has happened over and over and over again, and then finally the answer comes. When I am being sent to, you know, before I had a cell phone, when I was sent to the grocery store, I vocalized apples, peanuts, and lettuce. Apples, peanuts, and lettuce. Apples, peanuts, and lettuce. And if somebody interrupted me, I'd have to go back and ask what it was that I was supposed to get. But I was more likely to remember it if I had vocalized it, wouldn't I? Now, if she had vocalized it several times, you know, apples, peanuts, what was the third thing? Lettuce, okay. If she had vocalized it many times, she would know whether I came home with it or not, wouldn't she? So that vocalization helps us realize when our Father is working on our behalf. You see, prayer is just as much and maybe more for us than it is for our Heavenly Father. He already knows what we need. He already is a good, good Father. He already is the Father of lights and can provide anything we need. And He wants to give us good things. All of that is already taken care of. You don't have to convince Him to do any of that. It is already set. So why ask? Because prayer is not us informing God, It is prayer forming us. Prayer should change us. I saw a video yesterday and it said, how do you know if the Spirit is really working in your life? And this was, I think it was Josh Howerton that did this from Lake Point Church. And he said, you have your former life, and then you have an encounter with the fire of God, and then you are changed when you come out the other side. And he said, if any of you know chemistry, it's that when anything encounters fire, there is a substance change in it. Wood becomes ash. Chemicals become other chemicals, or become gas instead of liquid. Heat is usually produced, or heat is taken away. So when you become, when you are your old self and you prefer the things of the world and you encounter the fire of a holy God, out the other side you come out a different person. All of a sudden, things that didn't matter to you, like prayer, become a priority. Like the scriptures are a priority. Like loving your neighbor as you love yourself. Maybe that last one is because we know we can love ourselves because God loves us now. And now you have more love to give. There are some people where I understand they don't love their neighbor because they hate themselves. How can you love your neighbor if you don't love yourself? And so that speaking to God, that prayer, is something that is absolutely essential. I want you to realize this. The Father who hears silent prayers has nonetheless given His children voice. Yes, He hears silent prayers, but He gave us the gift of voice. Perhaps what I really need is to hear my own heart. Because when I start speaking in thanksgiving, I start hearing gratitude. See, we know that we hear from God. We hear from God, don't we? But usually if we tell somebody that, they say, oh, did you hear the voice? You know? No, but I heard from God. But when we speak what God has done, we've definitely heard the voice, haven't we? When I speak thanksgiving, I hear gratitude. Speaking confession, I hear repentance. When I speak praise, I hear worship. And when I speak my requests, I become aware of my dependence upon God. And the interesting thing is, when I actually speak it, I know that it came out of my heart. You see, the way that we speak reveals our heart. Jesus said that too. Maybe we're afraid to put it into words because we're not sure we are who we say we are. And we don't want to lie. But out of the mouth, the heart speaks. So may our hearts speak thanksgiving, confession, praise, and request, but may it be spoken, because the spoken word teaches and disciplines our own soul. And I don't think that God sends us into the closet because that is particularly holy, but because into our closet is a place where we have put all other distractions aside so that we might know our hearts and know Him. And, you know, I know some people that they just don't want to vocalize anything when there are other people around, right? Even here, when we sing praises, don't you have a little, I don't know what the word is, a little hold back in how you praise because you're worried about what other people will think? What's the person behind you going to think? So in our closet, we can get rid of those little scruples, if you will. We can set it aside and just get real with our Heavenly Father. Here's another phrase that I think is worth thinking about. Love, true love, naturally seeks expression. If you know Fiddler on the Roof, if you haven't seen it, you should. But Tevye, the main character, is struggling because his daughter does not want to enter into an arranged marriage, as is traditional. She wants to marry for love, doesn't she? And as he struggles with it, and as the argument goes back and forth, all of a sudden he finds this struggle in it. His marriage was arranged. And he goes to his wife, Golda, and there is a whole beautiful scene. And there is a song that they sing back and forth. And he says, "But Golda, do you love me?" And she says, "Of course I love you. I do this and I do that. I do this and that and I do that. You should know." "Ah, but Golda, do you love me?" Back and forth it goes. But he presses on. And finally she says, "I suppose I do." How would it work? Well, I actually counsel couples, you know that. And one of the things I commonly hear, mostly from the wife, is he never tells me he loves me. Oh, now the roles are switched. Of course I love you. I go to work and I work hard. I provide transportation. You have food. You have hot water. You have clothes and a list of all the things that are done. Those things are valid, but it doesn't answer the question fully and completely and satisfactorily to a heart. Do you love me? And if that is true for us, isn't that true for our Heavenly Father? Where we come to Him and say, "I love you. You are the prize of my heart." And so speaking to our Father, talking, there are times where I don't have to say, "I love my wife." It just means sitting down and listening and, you know, supporting for 20 minutes. I don't even have to fix anything. I just need to let her know that she's important enough for that time of day. So is our Father important for that time of day? Because love naturally seeks expression, and He is the fulfillment of love. So our spoken prayer isn't merely transferring information. It is expressing our relationship. I hope you're starting to feel a refreshing for your prayers. I could stand up here and give you dozens of reasons why you should pray more. But what I would rather have is you to pray more intimately with your Father and to know your Father more intimately. Because love deserves to be experienced as well. And anytime we connect in that way with our Heavenly Father, He will not fail us. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus gives us words. Not magic words, not repetition, not performance, but words by which a child can speak to their Father. We often say that the Lord's Prayer is a model. In fact, when I hear a sermon on the Lord's Prayer, and I've been guilty of this too, going through and seeing the structure of the prayer and saying, if you're struggling with prayer, you do this too. Give praise to the Father. Our Father who art in heaven, holy is your name. And then aligning our will, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. By the way, when you get to that part of the prayer, try inserting your name instead of earth. Your kingdom come, your will be done in might as it is in heaven. It's a lot harder to pray, isn't it? Maybe a little bit jarring even, but true. I was at conference a couple weeks ago, and someone from Decatur was wearing a t-shirt, and it had printed on it, "In Decatur as it is in heaven." How about that? "In Casey, as it is in heaven." And what would that look like? Wouldn't that be awesome? If His will is done in Casey, as it is in heaven. Jesus gave these words to be prayed, not analyzed, though. You see the difference? Now, I want to say this carefully. The danger with familiar prayers is not that they become meaningless because you've heard them over and over and they can roll off your tongue without you thinking about it. I don't think we do it without thinking about it. But what I think it's actually quite the opposite. They become so beloved that sometimes the words roll out of our mouths before they come out of our hearts. You can detect that sometimes, can't you? Father who art in heaven. And all of a sudden we start, we know it, we'll let it roll, we'll get her done. That's what we do, isn't it? Get her done. But your prayer is not a race. Your prayer is a relationship. Our mouth can go faster, sometimes in our minds, but definitely faster than our hearts. When we speak, we can speak slowly and allow our hearts to inform our mouth. And it's important for us to do so because God uses words. Did you know that? He spoke all of creation into being. He speaks to us through the prophet, through the prophets, and through the Word of God as it was written for us down through the ages. And He speaks to us through Jesus Christ, God's Word incarnate. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things were made through Him. Without Him was nothing made that was made. He is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and the Omega. Everything is wrapped up in Him. And He became flesh and walked amongst us and spoke to us. The Word is incredibly important. A deist, I don't know if you know what a deist is, but there were some in our founding fathers, and a deist, Thomas Jefferson was one, and he believed that there is a God, but that it ended at creation, his involvement. He got everything wound up and going, and then he just steps back to watch it, to see what happens with it. But when we look at God's history of speaking to us, there is an undeniability that He continues to be close and to be imminent. When Mary and Joseph brought Jesus into the temple, one of the people that they encountered was a Jewish prophetess. And it says that she was over on the side praying. They could tell she was praying because her lips were moving, but it wasn't even loud enough for them to hear any vocalization. It was still a prayer. And because of her faithfulness, she was of an old age, because of her faithfulness, she got to see and hold the Messiah, King of Israel, a prophetess who was over to the side, respected, but over to the side, saying silent prayers to her father. Here's your application. This week I want to invite you to do something wonderfully simple but full of glorious potential. Okay? I started doing this week right after I wrote this sermon. Did you notice in your bulletin insert that up at the top of the back page it's got about five psalms, chapters of psalms listed? Did you notice that? Find a quiet place, some place. It doesn't have to be a closet. My goodness, I don't think there's room in my closet for me. But basically, it means a place where you can get away from the distractions. It's okay if other people are there, as long as you're not distracting them as well. But open God's Word and speak it to your Heavenly Father. There is rarely a thing that you can say that would be more glorious and appropriate for God to hear than His own words. So choose one of those Psalms. I chose Psalm 103 this week and have been speaking it out loud, reading it and speaking it. Because sometimes we don't know what to pray for, do we? And we know that the Holy Spirit intervenes with groanings that we don't understand, but are appropriate before the throne of God. but speak out his word. If you don't do that, then you can choose a song and read the lyrics. Okay? If you want to sing it, sing it. But if you want to read the words, go ahead. We're going to close with this song. Listen to this beautiful prayer. I love you, Lord. Your mercy never fails me. All my days, I've been held in your hands. From the moment that I wake up until I lay my head, I will sing of the goodness of God. I love your voice. You have led me through the fire, and in darkest night, you are close like no other. I've known you as a father, and I've known you as a friend, and I have lived in the goodness of God. As you pray, don't worry about impressive words. You can even take your bulletin and just say the names of the people that are on your bulletin. I'll be honest with you, sometimes I've read it every day in my mind, but someone comes and says, oh, so-and-so has been healed, and I'm going, were they on the list? Because I haven't said the name out loud. But I can guarantee, once I get the good news, if I have been saying their name every day, I will know when they're healed. And I will know when I have received my answer. The spoken word matters because love longs to be spoken for those we love and the Father that we love. The Lord's Prayer matters because Jesus does not merely give us a pattern of prayer. He gives us a way of entering into relationship with our God. I'm asking the worship team to come forward and lead us. You already know the lyrics. Well, I didn't give them to you, but you've heard them, right? Let's sing this as a prayer when we come forward. So I said the Lord's Prayer matters, the secret place matters, but the inner incarnation matters because the Word did not remain distant. The Word remains close and imminent. Because it entered the world, became flesh, and came near. That was God's goal, that was God's plan, and that is what God executes. So prayer is not necessarily about saying the right words to God. It is showing your heart to God and having a relationship. Because God gives us prayer not so we can prove ourselves, but so his children have a way home.